Now we take a look at the top stories of the week in national politics. Senators are delaying the confirmation process for President Trump's pick to head the Department of Veterans Affairs. That'll be our lead story today. Ginger Gibson is with us this week, correspondent for Reuters. Ginger, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me back.
So Ronnie Jackson, Admiral, President Trump's nominee to run the Department of Veterans Affairs, getting scrutiny from lawmakers, issues being raised apparently over his past as a member of the White House medical staff. What are some of the things that we're hearing, some of the things we know, and then people are speculating about at this point?
Well, the one thing we know for certain is that the White House did not really do much vetting of Ronnie Jackson before he was named to be the next VA secretary. It was a lot of surprise for a lot of folks in Washington when he was picked, given that he's, like, never run an organization as large as the VA or even anything close to as large as the VA. And now sort of the byproduct of not vetting your nominees is coming up as a consequence, which is that we've learned that there are accusations that have been made against Jackson for years and in previous years that he was causing a hostile work environment, that he got inebriated on a work trip at one point and knocked on the door of a hotel room of a female colleague, that he was drinking on the job, and that he had some other management problems that are real issues for someone who was going to run an organization that big.
Now, Democrats are raising this as an issue. I understand Republicans in the Senate, regardless of how they feel about whether they want to vote for this nomination, some of them are a bit miffed at the lack of communication from the White House. Is that right?
That's right. This nomination came as a total surprise for even Republican members of Congress. There's an argument to be made that President Trump is trying to think outside the box, that he's trying to appoint someone who's got a different resume, that the last several traditional nominees just didn't work and that agency is a mess. And it's a good idea to get someone with a different pedigree and background. But normally you would go to the important members of the Senate and tell them that you are doing this, give them your justification, and then help them make the argument for you in the Senate. And they're not doing that. They're not giving those senators the kind of help that they expect to be able to make this argument in Jackson's favor to the American people.
Now, President Trump was asked about Jackson's nomination as the head of the VA at the White House yesterday. Here's part of what he had to say.
If I were him, actually, in many ways, I'd love to be him. But the fact is, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. What does he need it for? To be abused by a bunch of politicians that aren't thinking nicely about our country? I really don't think personally he should do it, but it's totally his. I would stand behind him, totally his decision.
And the White House is standing behind him, at least in comments by White House staff since then. But that's kind of a weird statement from the president.
It is. It sort of seemed like he was giving him an escape hatch, suggesting that if Jackson decided to withdraw his nomination, he would be okay with that decision. It is clear in this setting that it appears that the president isn't that gung-ho, but that he's equating it to this sort of mean partisan tactics instead of actual problems with Jackson as a nominee. So in some ways, it could also be read as a defense of his pick.
Is there a timeline now? I know a hearing had been delayed. Do we know when this is going to pick up?
We're still waiting, unless I missed something in the last hour or two, on when exactly we can expect a vote to go forward. I mean, that's a sign that there are negotiations and discussions within the Senate, that they're trying to sort through how and when to decide to move forward. And we know that there's other things happening in the Senate. This is not their only responsibility. They're also having to deal with Pruitt hearings this week. And with a number of other issues, so added to the list of undetermineds by Congress.
We're talking to Ginger Gibson, correspondent at Reuters, looking at some of the week's national political news, and that Scott Pruitt hearing is on our list. We'll talk about that coming up in just a few moments here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're looking at some of the top political news of the week with Ginger Gibson, correspondent at Reuters. Ginger, you mentioned Scott Pruitt, EPA head, coming before the Senate this week, I think. What is on the agenda as he talks to members of Congress?
This may prove to be one of the most explosive hearings this month or in the coming weeks in Congress. Pruitt, the head of the EPA, is under siege. He's been engulfed in a number of scandals. We found out that he had installed this very expensive soundproof booth in his office that auditors and the agency said was not an acceptable use of government money. He was living in a condo owned by a lobbyist. He was paying only about $50 a night, which, let me tell you, in Washington, D.C., I don't know where you could get for $50 a night, but it wouldn't be nice. And then had to sort of be booted out after he overstayed his welcome. A lot of questions surrounding the EPA chief, and I think he's going to get a grilling from members of Congress at both sides of the political aisle. Expect to hear both Republicans and Democrats asking really hard questions as he heads to both chambers to testify.
Technically, you're supposed to be talking about the budgets or budgetary issues, but you think these ethical concerns are going to get raised?
Absolutely. Budget hearings are really just an ability for Congress to conduct oversight. They don't have to stick to monetary issues. They can ask these cabinet secretaries as they come in to discuss their budgets anything they would like, and they do. It really are designed to have an annual opportunity for Congress to grill these cabinet secretaries on policy, on issues. These are the kind of hearings, and the EPA is a great example, where sometimes you'll hear a question about national overarching sweeping policy issues, and then the next senator might ask about a single small project in their state or their district. And for that reason, these can be really wide-ranging. But when a member's under so much scrutiny and there's a sort of the cloud of scandal around them, they almost overwhelmingly are engulfed with those topics.
And I want to check in on another reason the EPA is in the news: new rules on how they use scientific studies. And this has been controversial. What is changing?
The EPA has taken a lot of heat about their criticism, or their sort of attempts to get sort of the rank and file and the bureaucratic employees to reassess the way they're using scientific research. They've said that not all science has been created the same, and that they want different levels of scrutiny and they want different levels of assessments on these studies. And this is really sort of feeding two different arguments that we see. We see the right arguing that academics and that universities are sort of distorting scientific results to perpetuate political ideas. And then we see the left arguing that the right is discrediting solid scientific research in order to perpetuate their political ideas. And this is another example of that being at the heart of that debate.
And I want to turn to some election news, a special election in Arizona, their 8th congressional district there for U.S. House seat. It was a Republican-dominated district. The Republicans won, but I understand it's kind of a good news, bad news story for Republicans. Can you talk us through that?
It is a bit of a good news, bad news situation. Republicans did win the seat. Donald Trump won that district in 2016 by 21 points. Trent Franks, the Republican who held that seat before, didn't even have a Democratic challenger the last time he won, and won by more than 30 points. This is red, about as red a district as you could ask for. But it wasn't an easy waltz to victory that it should have been. The Republican Party had to spend millions of dollars helping the candidate there. The Democrats, not believing that they could win the seat, spent almost nothing or very little compared to what the Republicans had spent. And still, the Democrat outperformed in the district than we expected. She lost by about 5 points. So if you do just simple math, a district that Donald Trump won by 20 points, this Republican can now only win it by 5 points. That's a 15-point swing in the district, and not a good sign for Republicans going in to the November elections. If districts swing just 10 points or even 5 points from the last election, that's going to be big pickups for Democrats and a chance that they could take both the House and the Senate.
We'll leave it there for now. Ginger, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
That's Ginger Gibson, correspondent for Reuters. She was with us for our weekly look at some of the biggest news out of Washington.